Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Liz.
I'm Peter.
We're on minute 49. Minute 49 starts with a Star Wars-style zoom on a digital set of binoculars and ends with something that I forgot to put in the actual notes.
Brendan Gleeson.
And ends with Brendan Gleeson introduced Brendan Gleeson's mug.
John C. McCloy.
So John McCloy. Yeah, we're introduced to Brendan Gleeson. There's our Star Wars guys. If we needed a Star Wars reference, the father of General Hux.
But Fanny Newton isn't good enough for a Star Wars reference.
Yeah, she dies at the beginning of a prequel.
Still Star Wars.
It is unfortunately early, her death in that movie.
Yeah, I wish she'd been in the entire movie.
She's the best part of that movie. Well, no, not the best part. Sorry.
No, that's
L3. Also Lando.
Yeah.
And his capes.
He can get it.
Lando can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, Brendan Gleeson is the father of him and also the actor of this movie. Best known from Braveheart, Paddington 2. Those are the two movies you know him from.
I really think of him in In Bruges.
Yep. Maybe the best movie
I'm all about
ever.
In Bruges with him. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm naming off the movies I love with him in it.
And don't forget Harry Potter.
Yes, yeah, yes. True.
He's Mad-Eye Moody.
He sure is.
Mad-Eye can get it.
Love a guy with a don't forget he was in Beowulf also, that weird Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, yeah,
motion capture Beowulf. I just watched that the other night on TV. I'm like, wow, this is crazy animation. Yeah.
Okay. The things he can do with that Mad-Eye.
Yep.
Drive you wild.
We're meeting Dr. Boss for the first time. We've just decided that's his name because I'm just not going to pronounce it. Even though it's in writing on this, in this episode, they actually show his face. It's Dr. Vladimir Nikorovich. It's hard to say.
Leave out the H.
Nikorovich. No, it's got a H in it. Anyway, it's Doc's boss. We find not only is Ethan now looking at where Ambrose is talking to John McCloy, but also Billy.
I love Die Hard, by the way. John McCloy, the star of Die Hard.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot.
Tap, tap, tap.
The glass. I like that you said tap, tap, tap and didn't actually tap your own microphone.
Oh, no, I tapped. You just probably couldn't hear it.
Just type on your keyboard.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Billy's got this awesome set of binoculars. His actually have a little camera on them. I think so do Ethan's.
Yeah, that's what that extra little nubbin is.
Oh, yeah. Nubbin. It's our second nubbin. It's our second wall nubbin.
Yep.
I love how they... My favorite part of all of these minutes of this week is when it zooms in to the little top of the van nubbin.
Yeah, to tell you, well, that's how, yeah, it's like, this is how Luther's seeing it. Okay, it's fine. You don't need to go that far.
Van nubbin.
Van nubbin. Well,
there's your episode title right there, John. Van nubbin.
These binoculars are badass. I like that they have crosshairs on them.
Yeah. I always think that like he's aiming to kill her.
They're probably also a gun too somewhere in there.
Oh, it's definitely got a dart of some kind.
Yeah, totally.
The camera nubbin just shoots out and then there's a dart that comes out of the space it leaves behind.
I assume it just shoots out the lenses and or just that. Hits you in the face.
You know, I'm kind of wondering if Bing Rames was ever in Australia.
Oh, well, he's at the goat farm last week.
He was on the exterior for like one shot and everything else has been interiors, like him sitting down somewhere. Now, I know he's got bad knees and all, but like every shot of him is inside some sort of vehicle and you never really see him in Australia. So
we could basically say that about the last movie. I mean, he's inside of a fire engine. He's inside like five different places. He's inside of an interior train set.
Yeah.
he's inside the set at the end of the movie in the big bullet train. Mm-hmm. So maybe Ving Rhames is never in the countries that they shoot these movies.
I would say except for like the last two movies, maybe, because he's like in the cities and shot with other actors. But in these first couple of movies, he's always by himself most of the time.
So weird.
Yeah.
We meet John McCloy. He's the CEO of Biosite. So for those at home that are confused, he is the boss of Dr. Nikovich. And so it's kind of confusing, I think, to Ethan why he would be meeting with the person who just left, the guy who just left his company with something, is now trying to get it back. Does Ambrose have it? Is he trying to sell it to him? What's happening here? I'm asking, what's happening
here? I don't know that any of us can answer you.
Yeah. This whole plot is confusing to me, so I'm going to be no help of yours.
Basically, in this scene, it's inferred that Donald Gleason is looking at something.
Wrong Gleason.
Oh, yeah. Brendan Gleason. Yeah. Damn it. I'm going to say that a lot.
Daddy Hux.
You're going to say the harder name.
You can say Daddy Hux. Just call him Daddy Hux.
Yeah. Daddy Hux.
Brendel Hux.
Daddy Hux.
He's trying to find, he's looking at a digital camera, and that's where this minute ends. But we got a lot of interfaces going on. Not only do we get to see the Van Nubbin, we get to see Luther's cool interface that's got the, he's got so many. Oh, did you know that the buttons on the left side of this camera that's watching him, he can take over. It says remote operate. He can take over the camera in the binoculars if he wanted to.
But
that's pretty cool.
But only if the person is holding them in the general direction in which he would like to be. It's not like he can actually.
You don't
actually,
know. Maybe.
Do you think he'll make wings sprout out? It's like it becomes a binocular drone.
Oh, no. He controls Billy.
Ah, that makes sense.
Billy's a robot.
There's so it's much like, good techno jargon on this like facial search computer. Like that guy definitely knows how to hack a mainframe.
Oh, Chin yeah. The
my favorite one is pixel referencing. Linear.
End cool. of nasals.
Yeah. Cranial fractal structure.
Frontal eminence. That's the name of my band.
It says all known. And it says delimiter, white male, delimiter, plus 30. Okay. Let's say plus 45.
I mean, they're not wrong.
They're not wrong. He's plus 18, plus 12.
Yeah. I also wanted to point out, like, this is the next slide when it pulls up that bio of John McClane, that, like, whoever...
John McClane.
The bios in the database at IMF, like, really cares about their subject because it reads like a dating profile. It says... His entrepreneurial instincts occasionally overwhelm his financial acumen, which causes himself to overextend himself. He also enjoys hot chocolate next to a fire and is working to write a novel in the next 10 years.
In attempts to penetrate the world pharmaceutical market, not a good enough reason to use the word penetrate.
Right? I mean, who does he think he is? Sigmund Freud?
And place of birth, Manchester, England. No, he's not from Manchester.
Also, he's they made Scottish. Him older than real Brendel Hux.
Why?
Real Brendel Hux is born in 1955.
Well, look, here's what's
funny. Why do I know that?
How come the picture they took for this movie on the left looks 10 years younger than the actual photo they have?
Because it's his work headshot. If you look at the headshot I have on my work email, I look like I'm 12.
Okay. I understand that in real life that you always leave your older photo because you look better because everybody starts to melt when they work in a company.
Last time I took a good picture.
Yeah, you keep that good picture. But this is for a movie, and so they probably shot this for the movie.
And it looks like he's wearing the same exact outfit, too.
The poor man has aged 10 years.
Just by working with John Woo.
Yeah. Can you imagine all the accents? Between Ambrose and Donald. Not Donald. God damn Brendan. It. I keep calling him Donald. Brendan.
Well, this movie did take like 2 years to shoot. So, I mean, come on. You know?
Chaddock. What kind of name is Chaddock? Oh, you can see the Biosite website and infomercial.
Oh, let's talk about that website.
Yeah.
That is killer website. Screams 2000. In 2000, we loved, as a, I'm a web designer, and we love to put things in circles, like half circles going off the edge. We loved it. We loved asymmetrical design. So edgy.
Oh, yeah. I
actually want to see that infomercial. Also, they have a button that just says stock. That's not how companies work. No company just said, welcome to Apple. Here's stock.
Press clippings.
We're so close to getting away from paper media at this point, but they're like, no, we still need to call them clippings. Because we still call, like, remember we used to call that, like, would you clip something and put it into an email or something, send it to one of your friends. Look at this clipping. It's a real hoot. It was, clippings were the memes.
You've really captured my voice there.
Is that you?
That was me. When I was 15 in 2000.
Yikes. Oof. Well, Little Liz was making her own dresses and sending funny little emails to her friends.
Clipping things.
You're clipping. She's clipping
sending
things.
Hoots.
Sending hoots. Yeah, this minute's funny. It's just one of those minutes where there's a lot going on, yet nothing happens.
And they all seem like really bad spies.
Yeah, I mean, yep. I mean, they're really bad spies. They're like in plain sight spies. It's like awful.
You can't use your binoculars as a cover at a horse race when there's no horse racing happening.
You can't use the binoculars when you're one of the ushers.
Yeah.
You can't have an
that
usher.
That seems inappropriate.
And can I also point out that, what's his name, Billy?
Billy's
the creepiest binocular guy out of this entire triumphant, because first he's creepily staring through a weird slanted window, and then he moves out from behind that to use his creepy binoculars. That guy's been like peeping in trees before.
He's not subtle. To be fair, he is he's the helicopter pilot.
And I mean, what do you expect from the director of Swim Fan? So, I mean, come on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No one knows that. We've said it to everybody and no one knows it. Not one person has been like, yeah, the Swim Fan director.
Yeah. Can I also point out too, this minute's not as bad, but a running theme through the movie is, have you ever noticed whenever people look directly at each other, they all look like they're trying to hold in a fart?
In this movie? Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of fart acting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very odd. Just a lot of weird facial expressions going on.
I'm sure that John Woo was like, more, give me more. And they're like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, look at Billy. Billy's like, got my binocular. He's like,
yeah. Like, where'd he pull those out of?
Same place he got the earpiece out of.
He had another booklet.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't it be funny if they had given Billy a booklet and inside it says, put these up to your eyes? And it had a pair of binoculars in it. No,
there's one giant booklet, and inside of it, he opens to one section and it says, give this booklet to that lady. And then under that, there is binoculars with a little note that says, put these on your eyes.
The third one's like, make sure you stand behind the pole while you do it.
Be as creepy as possible. That's just, that was printed on top of the booklet.
Yeah, Billy's not great. We're not a big fan. We're not Billy fans here, no. Peter.
Yeah.
He never comes back. No one's clamoring in the next movie after Fallout, because Fallout had some people come back from some previous movies, mm-hmm. and people enjoyed that. No one's clamoring for Billy to come back. Where's the helicopter pilot from Mission Impossible 2?
Yeah.
The creepy guy with the binoculars.
I mean, no one's clamoring for it, but we can all agree he can get it, right?
What I don't know. Let me look at sandwiches. Again. He can get sandwiches. That's about all he can get.
He can get goggles or binoculars.
Mm-hmm. He has he has about as much sexual presence as those white gloves. He is.
Yeah, he
just there.
Those were very fashionable in 2000. Those weren't even part of his uniform. He was just really into white gloves.
Everybody was just wearing gloves.
Yeah.
Don't you remember?
Never been to a
gloves
horse
and Kid Rock hats.
You're wearing were you wearing white gloves and a red hat?
You had to have the fur coat too, the oversized fur coat.
Oh, like some sort of horrible mime.
No, I couldn't afford that, but I definitely had a bowling shirt with flames on it.
Oh, wow. Guy Fieri costume.
That was pre-Guy Fieri.
Pre-Fieri. Yeah, it's okay.
That's Fieri.
Some would say he ripped me off.
Some might say that.
Some might say that. And it, since I was in my other band, Flavortown. Not to be confused with the Flavortowns.
No, but it's flavor with a U, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Flavortown.
Flavortown.
Oh, blech. I swear to God, these cameras are driving me crazy. Why are they just carrying around cameras jamming? Obviously, Minolta said, please
carry use our these largest cameras. Digital camera.
Yeah. Well, at that point, it wasn't the largest. It was the digital camera of the day. And he's like, but make sure you show them how easy it is to take out the memory
the
and
flip back disk. In.
And they do that like they do it like four times in this movie. That's four more times than I ever need to see them inserting the memory card into a camera. Yeah. We got it.
It's like, look at the height of technology. You can hold 4 megabits.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's funny to see a lack of tech. I mean, Ambrose is a IMF agent, or at least was. He should have some sort of Palm Pilot, some sort of tablet. At this point, like an IMF-based tablet that's 10 years ahead of its time.
He should have at least the quality of digital camera I had in the year 2000. Actually, I think I still have that digital camera.
Yeah. I guarantee you I have it because we were moving some stuff into boxes and I found it. I never throw it away. I'm always like, aw, look at this thing.
I still have my first like Canon digital elf little digital camera. That I loved.
Every once in a while, I do come across some old film that has been shot. I'm like, well, where the hell am I going to get this taken care of?
Yeah, I found a roll of film a couple months ago, and I'm like, what do I do with this?
Send it to Kodak? I mean, they're not even in business anymore.
What do I do?
I guess you drop it off at Walgreens and say, don't hate me, and like run away. Because I don't know what they do with it. I don't know if they can even do it anymore.
Or you find a high school. If it's black and white film, you can find a high school and say, can I use your photo lab, please?
I did. I found a roll of old Ilford. Good old Ilford 400.
Oh, man.
From photography class?
Basically, yeah. That's the good black and white film.
Yeah, it is.
And film? Film's
hip again.
Yeah, not to me. It's not.
When we were in college, we had to do film. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's some thriving film shops around us.
That's because you live in the land of...
That is true. I'm in the Bay Area.
I don't know in Indianapolis where I could get film developed. I'm going to be real with you right now.
I'm in Chicago, and I don't know where I can get film developed.
Sorry, I didn't mean to like flaunt my film privilege.
It's okay. It's funny how all those tools and all those... things that Chris and I had, being able to deal with physical media kind of goes out the door.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I still to this day can, I could walk into a room with a can opener and a roll of film and spool it by touch onto one of those spools that you would put it into the bath that would, total darkness, and then put it in a bath that would allow it to develop.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a tube. And I still remember I spent hours doing, not learning how to do that, but I spent hours doing that in school. And now I'm like, eh.
I could go to my high school and walk in the dark room and still pick out my station.
Yeah?
Do you want to know something embarrassing?
Of course.
I literally got a scanner for film for Christmas. I'm looking at it right now. It's still in the box next to me.
That's awesome.
That's smart. For film, like already processed film, like your negatives?
Yeah, you get it developed and then you just scan it.
That's smart. Yeah, oh, I got one of those.
That's awesome. Good. Because now we're at the point, my wife's like, do we need to have all these photos scanned? I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
It's been 25 years since high school. So yeah, we need to have all these pictures because they're starting to fade even though they're in the dark.
Yep. No, here's what you do. You have them all digital files of all of them, and you keep them on an external hard drive.
Well, that's stupid. Who would do that?
I don't know. Who would keep their entire photo library on an external hard drive?
An external hard drive that you use as a hard drive, like for your computer.
I don't know who would do that. Why would anyone do that?
Well, who's that ignorant? No one. No one. So, no, don't worry about it.
No one.
Bizarre hypothetical.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, I like that we're still talking about this, because when this airs, it'll literally have been 5 months since that happened.
I'll have killed another hard drive by then. It'll be topical again.
Well, if you spend what you spent last time, what was it, $40 on a hard drive?
Shut up.
Wow.
I remember when we were in college, we used to have to learn how to load magazines for film for the cameras in the dark.
Yep. Everything was in the dark.
Everything was in the dark. I used to go, I remember when we were shooting our short films, I would go into the trunk of the car and have it closed up so I could change it out when we were out on location.
What was the name of that, the camera that they made us all train with in our
The CP16 or the Bolex?
Bolex.
Yeah.
The little one's basically the Zipruder film. The Kennedy assassination film is on Bolex.
But we shot with that. But I owned my own CP16.
I remember.
Yeah. And that's the one I would have to go load in the dark somewhere, especially when we were out in like Greenville, Texas shooting. I just like, I don't have a place to put it. Stick me in the trunk.
So, yep. You'd be like, stick me in the trunk. I'm like, can you breathe?
Doesn't matter. I'll be out of here for a few minutes.
You're sweating.
I come out
trunk
like
in Texas.
Like,
it's not
drenched
it's not
in safe. Sweat, but everything was safe.
But your film was safe.
The film was it safe. Was. Yeah, it was.
Film looks great.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yep.
It has also been digitized and put on the internet.
Yes, it has. So
it's out there in the universe.
It's out there in the ether. Wait. So speaking of pictures, real quick, okay. I think we glossed over this. What is on that camera? I still don't understand.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's probably we don't actually know yet.
Pictures from my high school dances. Film.
Yep, it's all of Liz's pictures. That's where they went. They went back in time.
Okay.
What it is it's someone with the Chimera virus and what it does to them.
Oh, okay.
We're going to find that out later. It's not a big thing. If you're listening to this for the first time and haven't watched it, duh. He's showing proof of concept. He's showing him pictures of someone on this, and it has like little dates so you know how far along the progress of it. So it's within 24 hours the person literally liquefies.
Okay. Yeah. I may or may not have fallen asleep for periods of time during the movie, so maybe I missed that.
It's okay if you fall asleep. Sometimes we all get tired. One thing I don't ever get tired of, tech of the app. What a segue.
That was brilliant.
Nailed it.
Tech of the app for this one. There's so much. There's lots of stuff, guys. Chris, do you have anything that you'd like to do?
I like the interface that figures out who John C. McCloy is. Cause it's like this little, like, you know, 20 point breaking down of his facial features and then it's like, oh, look, this is him. You know, I think that's kind of fun. But if not that, then, the Van Nubbin.
Oh, Van Nubbin was going to be mine,
but I'll go. Okay. Yeah.
It could be more.
Yeah.
I understand that.
I really like it too, because later on in Rogue Nation, he comes in for Luther comes in for a visual a visual search based on a photo, not a photo, a sketch that Ethan does. So it's funny how it's changed.
Yeah, exactly.
Over the years, but I did enjoy the simplicity. I always love the thing that like shows the face and then you see like a little scan kind of dot different places on the face. I mean that's kind of what was happening when my Face ID was working on my phone. Hey guys, I got a new phone.
Oh, did you get a new phone, Jonathan?
Hashtag new phone.
New phone.
At this point, no, it's not new, but
and that joke is funny to like five people.
Yeah, I know. Like all my jokes.
I was just happy you got a new phone.
Thanks, like, man.
Good job, guys.
I'm going to change my answer, and I'm going to go with actually exactly what Chris said, because I think it would be really cool if I was just out somewhere and I was like, man, that guy can get it. I wonder what his deal is. And I scan him, and I'm like, and it tells me his life story, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And very flowerful, romantic.
Romantic details.
I get to know about like his financial pitfalls. I'm like, I can deal with that.
His hopes, his dreams.
He seems to be daring with money, but also seems to have problems committing to interpersonal. Okay, that's
seems
good to
like
know.
My kind of guy. Let's go.
Yeah. He likes hot chocolate. Look at that.
His face would look nice on a cake.
Yep. Again, five people get that reference.
Yep, still funny.
Yeah, I laughed.
JP laughed.
Faces on cakes. Who doesn't like that?
For my 16th birthday, my family threw me a surprise birthday party, and they put the face of my crush on a cake.
Oh, my.
And again, where was your crush?
On a cruise ship performing with a show choir.
That's tight.
Yeah.
I support every part of that sentence.
He could get it. He just didn't want it from
exactly.
Liz wasn't who he wanted to get it from. That's okay.
Correct.
That's okay, Liz.
But yes, then closely followed by the Van Nubbin. But I think while I would not want many people to have the, like, we're going to call it like the Tinder scan, 3000. I want to
damn,
be able
that's
to
another
use...
good name for the episode.
Yeah, I is. Want to use Tinder scan 3000.
I will say for my tech of the ep, I am kind of really into the floppy disk that goes into the computer because it's just like, how big is that thing?
It's like
can
a wall.
Imagine we used to carry those things?
That disk is, I'm trying to think, if, to give you all, it's what, an inch and a half by an inch and a half?
Something. It's like a waffle.
It's not only that big, it's like thick. It's thick.
Like a sewer mantle.
You know what? It's like, what's that fancy toast that you use with a cheese?
Waffle.
Those little
Melba toast?
It's like those little, yeah, those are called Melba toast. Those little, they look like little loaves of bread, but they're just hard toast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only know about avocado toast out here.
No. Oh my God. Calm down.
Yeah, they were so big, but carried so much, so little data.
Yeah, very like 4 gigs.
If that.
I can't remember how many, but remember also we didn't take pictures in the insanely high DPI that we all do now.
Yeah.
If we tried to put any pictures from today on a computer back then, it would just be like, I don't even know what this is. It's too many pixels.
I think the picture would be bigger size than the RAM and the space that you had on the hard drive for the computer.
Probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That tracks.
Yep.
It's now, mine is, since it hasn't gotten any love, it's the all-in-one Swiss Army binoculars. I kind of like them. I like that they have a remote on them that we can control Billy. If you're holding these binoculars and you push that button, it takes over your mind and allows you to control the user. Hopefully Luther will use that later. Yeah. But yeah, these binoculars do everything. They take pictures. They zoom in. Like normal binoculars. We assume they have a gun on them because they have a sight. So
they also have a nice nubbin on the side, too. I don't know if we
there's
talked
so
about
many
the
nubbins
binoculars
in this movie.
Yeah, there's
so
a
many
lot of nubbins in this minute.
It's our third it's our third nubbin of the movie, I think. We had a wall nubbin earlier.
Oh, we have a was that during nubbin? My first set of minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, remember in the bathroom in Spain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My minutes bring all the nubs to the yard.
Wall nubbins, that move that Tom Cruise was using on Thandie Newton in that bathtub. Yep.
He was trying to get it. Actually, I don't think he was either. I think he's just like the face cake.
It was a really good cake.
It was a really good cake. I'm glad it satisfied you.
Face cake, that's another title right there. Face cake.
I went through a period of time where I used to buy cakes with people's faces on them for my friends, but I would always find stock images of people who slightly looked like them but wasn't them, and I thought it was very funny. Other people didn't seem to think so, but I thought it was very funny.
I used to give my friends birthday cards, but I wouldn't ever get them from the birthday aisle. I would get them like, with sympathy, nephew, or like, you know, to my grandson. Yeah, those were more fun.
Yeah, totally.
It's funny. That stuff's funny.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, it's their birthday, but you didn't get them a birthday card.
Well, if you're going to get us a birthday card, you know where to send it. We're going to wrap this episode up, and you guys can find us over on minuteimpossible.com or on our Facebook group, the Impossible Minute Force. Join us there. Peter will be a member of it by the time you listen. So, Liz is already a member. Chris Force is a member. And we're always talking about spy stuff and other things. We're probably going to be talking about nubbins. Seems to be this week is lousy with nubbins, so we're going to talk about it.
Lousy with nubbins. Another,
and you can find us
title.
Also on Twitter
so many
at Min Impossible. At MIN Impossible. and on our Instagram. Go over there. We always I post stuff about what we do during the show, behind the scenes stuff. So minuteimpossible.com has all of our links and everything you need to find stuff. Also, TeePublic, we got merch. You should definitely go look at some of our merch.
Nice.
Merch.
But we'll you gotta follow a link from minuteimpossible.com, because if you try and search it on TeePublic, you get nothing.
Nope. We are so hidden. I don't know why. No one can find anything of our stuff.
Are we gonna do a nubbin shirt?
Oh my god, please do.
Maybe a mission, a nubbin impossible.
Nubbin
I don't impossible. Know. We'll figure something
impossible.
Out. We're spitballing right now. Until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Liz.
And I've been Peter.
This minute will self-destruct.
This minute can get it.
See you next time on the show. It's done. It was so fun. Thanks for listening to Minute Impossible. 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 Impossible.